I know this is going to sound kind of geeky, kind of nerdy, but I'm a data guy. I love data, and I don't really love to sift through data, but I love what data can do for you. I love how data can help you improve your business, improve your marketing, improve your return on investment in massive ways. And our guest today is probably a bigger data geek than I am, and we actually just partnered with them on a massive report that you guys can find at oncarrot.com/PPC-keywords with an S. oncarrot.com/PPC-keywords with an S. And Dan and his team at AdWords Nerds, they are that exactly. It's in their company name. It's nerds, right, man? They like love data and just as much, if not more, than we do. And we released this massive report just recently. It's going to walk you guys through this analysis that Dan and his team did of over 3 million house seller searches, okay? Over 5,500 motivated seller leads generated. And they boil it down with this proprietary formula that they made that you don't have to know how it works. You just have to know what it means for you and your business. This proprietary formula that's going to show you the most profitable keywords as a real estate investor or agent for motivated house sellers. And we broke it down to the top 804. And you can get that along with the advanced guide on pay-per-click marketing and finding your most profitable keywords at oncarrot.com/PPC-keywords. Okay. Now, go grab that. Follow along as we're going. We talk about it a little bit on this podcast here. But really, I wanted to bring Dan on here because Dan and his team are insanely good at pay-per-click. And I know a lot of real estate investors and agents are looking to ramp up their marketing. Their direct mail might be getting harder. Maybe they're just now starting your SEO. And we all know that search engine optimization is not instant. You've got to be patient. But it's the highest return on investment marketing that we do in our business here at Carrot, that we do in any of my other companies, and that our Carrot clients, more leads, it's about 60 to 70% of all of the hundreds of thousands of leads every year our customers are bringing in, about 60 to 70% of them are coming from SEO. And hundreds of, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions or whatever it is, you know, of dollars of revenue a year are coming in from SEO. And it's no fluke, okay? But with that said, SEO takes time. So what do you do while your SEO is building? One of our favorite things to do is pay-per-click. Whether it's Google or whether it's Bing, and Dan and his team are among the experts in the industry, which is why we have partnered with them, and they are in our marketplace. If you're a Carrot member, an active Carrot member, you have access to our marketplace of pre-vetted vendors that we work with, that we've created systems with, and also our own services in there that are only accessible for Carrot customers to make your life easier, to make it so you can get higher rankings. And if you Google any search phrase around the world, guys and gals, for motivated house sellers, and you see multiple Carrot websites ranked on page one and page two, there's a reason. It's partly our system, partly our technology, partly our support, partly our strategy that's baked into them, but also partly our services that we provide inside of our marketplace that make your life easier so you can do more of what makes your heart sing and less hassling with tech and marketing issues. So what are you going to learn in today's call? Now, Dan's going to really dive into pay-per-click marketing like a master. You know, how do you ramp up your pay-per-click marketing as an investor? What are some of those insights that you're going to be able to gain as an investor to squeeze out the extra margin and close that extra deal or two or five or 10 or 20 this year? Okay. Dan's going to walk you through that. And also I always love the one thing I love. If you guys are listening to this on the podcast version, go to our website on carrot.com and then find the podcast or go to carrotcast.com and watch the video version. If you guys like watching the video version, because we do record these on video. And so you'll be able to see Dan's office. You'll be able to see what is behind him, what environment he works in, what environment I work in. I think it really adds a lot to the interview. So you guys can go over there, flip it on, listen to it, watch it, whatever you want to do on carrot.com or carrotcast. And also give us a rating, guys and gals. Ratings are what keep this podcast alive. Ratings are like that little dose of awesomeness for us so we know what we're doing and we're doing it right. Rate us on iTunes. Please go to carrotcast.com. If you enjoy us, rate us on iTunes and share it up. Without further ado, Dan Barrett, welcome to the call, man.
If you're an investor and you start up with AdWords and you throw 50 million keywords at the wall and you crush it, it does not mean that those keywords will crush it for someone else in a different market.
Hey guys and gals, this is Trevor Mock with Investor Carrot coming at you with another Carrot Cast. And I'm excited to have our guest on today. And you guys can see him there if you're watching the video portion of this. So the Carrot Cast, guys and gals, if you're listening to the podcast, this is a new thing we've got going here at Carrot, our company. And it's something that we're testing the waters. I'm excited about it because I get to have conversations with amazing entrepreneurs who are doing cool things and making a difference, and just kind of really digging in and unpacking what makes those high performing entrepreneurs tick. Some of those amazing tips and things that they're doing in their business to grow their businesses, whether it's real estate investing or real estate agents or anything else. And I'm excited about today's guest. I'll introduce you to him here in a second, but a little bit of housekeeping. So if you guys have not already, and if you're listening to this, on the podcast, head over to oncarrot.com/cast, and you guys can find the other episodes that we have posted here with other amazing entrepreneurs in the real estate space. And go and subscribe. Make sure that you subscribe to the Carrot Cast on iTunes. If you enjoy what you're seeing and listening to these on these, we would love the reviews. A lot of people may or may not realize it, but the reviews are a big deal and helping to the podcast to get ranked in iTunes and stuff like that. So head over to oncarrot.com/cast and check it out. Click the little button to rate us and review us on iTunes, and also check out the other episodes. So one of the things that we do here at Investor Carrot a lot is, of course, we work with a lot of people on generating leads specifically for real estate investors, now agents even increasingly more so. And one of the ways a lot of people get leads and get traffic is with pay-per-click, whether it's Google, whether it's Bing, you know, even Facebook in some respects are working great for some types of leads. And one thing that I have always loved about pay-per-click is you can get some traffic coming in quickly. You don't have to wait the months, you know, potentially for SEO and content marketing, which we love SEO and content marketing. It's what our business is built off of. But you also want to have that other marketing channel to get some traffic and leads coming in more quickly and to kind of stabilize some things out. And one thing that I learned the hard way years and years and years ago was I started to launch my own AdWords campaign. I think the first one I launched was in 2007 or 8. And it wasn't even in the real estate space. It was like selling some golf stuff. And I would go in there and I read the whole Perry Marshall book, you know, AdWords, whatever, Ultimate Guide to AdWords, and amazing stuff. And I hopped in there and I quickly learned how little I actually knew about anything, even though I read the categorical book on it. And I just flat out didn't have the time or patience to learn it. Now, there's guys out there like our guest today, Dan, who have gone out there and learned it, who are amazing at it. And we're going to walk through Dan's story today and what he does with his company, AdWords Nerds. You know, we're going to announce a really cool partnership that we've formed with him actually in our marketplace with Carrot, but also really dive into what the heck is working right now for driving motivated house seller leads, possibly buyers. You know, I'm not sure where the conversation is going to go, but Dan and his team at AdWords Nerds are amazing at what they do. So Dan, welcome onto the call, man. And I appreciate the heck out of you joining us.
Hey, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you having me. This is awesome. Just so you know, so yesterday I got super sick. I had a fever. So I literally spent the entire day in bed working with my laptop on my chest. I'm back in the office today because I feel like I'm okay, but you may hear me sniffling or something. The people who are lucky enough to be watching this on video may even see me blow my nose off to the side of the microphone or something. So
yes,
I apologize in advance. I swear I don't normally sound this nasally, although maybe a little bit nasally. But yeah, thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
Well, dude, it fits with your company name. It helps really make sure that the persona of the company you're living in, man, you're living in.
And it's like AdWords Nerds, man. They're great at AdWords, and they have some serious sinus issues they need to take care of.
That's right.
Yeah, man, I'm pumped to be here for sure.
Me too. So before we hit record on this, I know you and I were kind of joking around about our shelves behind us. So they both came from IKEA and whatever, but that's not what matters here. So I'm always really interested, man, in what people are reading, what people like. I love seeing what people have in their office. Like, where do you work? And I know you've got a lot of stuff behind you, the comic book superhero stuff, which I love. Dude, what do you have in your office? What do you surround yourself with, and why the heck do you surround yourself with that stuff?
Yeah, I love talking about that too. So yeah, so my bookcase, I got this big bookcase behind my desk, and that's where all the comic book stuff goes. Mm-hmm. And it goes there because my wife was like, when I got the office, she was like, you can get the office, but you have to move the comic book stuff out of the house. That was part of the deal. So I've done that, and I love comic books and still read them and all that stuff. In terms of work stuff, we were talking about, I recently bought a standing desk. But I keep my workspace pretty minimal. I've got a computer. I've got a whiteboard, right? Like pretty much everybody who tries to do this stuff, right? You get a whiteboard. And then over to my left, you can sort of see one of these here that you can sort of see. Yeah. I've got two huge windows. Actually, the whole reason I get moved into this office space is because it's got these two really tall windows that look right out on Main Street in my office. And that's really it, man. It's like that's my workspace. It's where I kind of spend all my time. I also have in here, I have music stuff because I play music as well and do some kind of home recording. So I've got like guitars and keyboards and stuff sort of over in the corner. But, when I come into work, I really like a clear workspace. Yep. And I've got like my business books and stuff like that. But most of the reading I do is at home. So it's like this workspace, I just try to leave it like as clean and clear as possible. So when I come in, it's like a Pavlovian response. Like when I walk into this room, like the couple times I've had to come to the office on the weekend because I needed to pick something up or something, I instinctively go to like start working. Like it is just such a sort of triggered response that I don't know. It was a big decision for me back in the day to move out of the home office, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. I think I'm so much more productive in an environment like this, for sure.
Man, I'm with you on that. And for those of you who are listening to this, we are gonna hop into some amazing pay-per-click stuff here in a second. We actually are. If you're listening to this when we roll this out, we're rolling out a massive pay-per-click report that Dan and his team put together. We're doing it in conjunction with them. We're rolling that out today as we're recording this. So if you're watching this, you definitely, it's already out there. If you guys go to oncarrot.com/PPC, let me look it up real quick. I think it's oncarrot.com/PPC keywords. So oncarrot.com/PPC-keywords. You guys can go download the report. We'll kind of reference it later in this, but it's basically this massive, massive, massive research project that Dan and his team did over 3 million pay-per-click search terms, over 5,500 house seller leads to really find the most profitable motivated seller keywords. And that's going to kind of hook you now. We're going to talk about that more in a bit. But I want to kind of stick on the topic for a second here on workspace, man. So everyone listening to this Carrotcast or watching it on the video, one thing that we all have to do is find that environment where we can work the best in. And I was very similar to you where we had our first daughter, and originally my office was at the house, and we had her, and my bedroom my office became her bedroom, and right. And I got tired of working at the kitchen table and stuff like that. This was in 2010, and so then I moved in to now it's called The Loft. It's an entrepreneur co-workspace that I started in 2010, 8,000 square feet, lots of amazing space here.
Awesome. I didn't know that. So you started that space? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yep.
That's rad.
Yeah, dude. There's awesome people working here too. So Carrot now, as we grow, we're going to be moving back to the back of the building in some bigger spaces. The guy who is working back there in this ginormous office bought the building across the street, and they're renovating that right now. So we're going to be taking the whole back half of the building, these two big offices that connect with the door, and then another office over there. It's got great people in here, man. Graphic designers, podcasters, other content creators, marketers, video production people, which is amazing with the type of work that we all do. We just added on our content studio that we're still getting all fitted out with everything right now. So it's a really cool place to work.
It's awesome. I when I decided to move out into an office, I wanted to be in a co-working space, and I kind of still do, because I think part of the reason I moved into an office was I realized when I was working from home, I would stay in my pajamas all day and I wouldn't shower. I wouldn't brush my teeth. Right. And I remember the day that I realized this was a problem. My wife would like leave. She would go to graduate school. So I'd like make her breakfast, I'd kiss her goodbye. She'd go to graduate school. She'd come back around 5. So she'd leave. I'd still be in my pajamas. I'd be in my pajamas all day. And then like around 4:30, I would change into clothes. So she would see me in clothes. And then when she got back, I'd be like, time to get back into my pajamas. And I would get in my pajamas. And I was like, this can't be healthy. There's no way I'm going to live very long doing this, right? So it, part of it is being around other people, right? Like the energy of being around other people, even if you're not directly interacting with them, but just seeing other people working or like being able to have that kind of social component, it's tough. Like our team is, they're all in the States, but we're all remote, right? And so we got Slack and everything, and we stay in touch that way, but it's not quite the same. I think there's something missing from that. And so, yeah, like being able to work in a co-working space, it just seems like such a huge benefit to me. And there wasn't anything near us when I started doing this. And so I just ended up getting my own office. But yeah, I am seriously jealous of that. That's awesome.
Dude, it is fun. And that's what I would encourage everyone on this call is kind of look at that work environment, because if you're, no matter what type of business you're looking at building, and I found this kind of the hard way in my last company as a publishing company. And I talked with people all day long. Like there's no lack of interaction. I was always talking with people, but there was the lack of kind of those happenstance moments. Cause you're not just going to like pick up a phone and just randomly call someone for business. Like, hey, what are you doing right now? You want to like, whatever, you're talking about something business specific.
Right.
But there's all those kind of happenstance moments where you hang up, you all hang up from this carrot cast and go grab some lunch. And there's probably going to be people back there that, you know, I can yak with when I'm eating my lunch or whatever. For me, it was those happenstance moments that just really increase your quality of life. And I would encourage everyone listening to this to make sure that we're building our businesses in a way, not just so we're making a bunch of money, but so we can really have that quality of life that relationships and stuff really has. So I mean,
every business in a lot of ways is a lifestyle business, right? Because if you're not creating a better lifestyle, either for you or the people you work with or your clients, that means you're just like evil Globo Megacorp. Right? Why do it? You know what I mean? So
that's right.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. I totally agree.
Man, so AdWords, let's dive in right now. So for people who aren't familiar with you, with your company, with your background, you guys specifically focus on AdWords, and not just Google AdWords, but pay-per-click for real estate investors. And I know I've heard the story a few times, but it always fascinates me on how people, when they're growing their company, and we did the same thing, but when they're growing their company, oftentimes you'll start broad, right? You start kind of broad. You go, hey, I've got this skill. There's a bajillion people in the world who could use it. But then you start to narrow down. You start to narrow down and really dominate a niche, and you can serve that niche of a smaller market very, very well. And it seems like that's what you guys have really focused on the past year and a half, and doing very well at it. Dude, how did you first start using AdWords or pay-per-click, and what led you into the real estate side of things? And then we'll dive into some of that keyword research that we talked about before.
Yeah. So I started freelancing, 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, doing kind of web design. As I was getting my master's in education, I wanted to be a history teacher, basically. Mm-hmm. And I had always kind of been involved in online marketing, got out of college, read the 4-hour work week, that kind of thing. I was like, I'm into this stuff. So I just really started burying myself into that. And then doing web design led pretty naturally into SEO. I spent about the next 10 years really doing paid SEO and SEO consulting and stuff like that. And I consider myself sort of an older school SEO guy. And I think for people like me who got into SEO when it was primarily technical, the switch from like the primarily technical side to SEO to SEO being so content driven, really, it just sort of, it became much harder for me to get into it. And I was like, it's so much fuzzier and I still keep up with it, but I didn't love it. And so, I kind of looked around and I looked at pay-per-click, and pay-per-click is in many ways, it's kind of like the sort of evil cousin of SEO, right? It's like, instead of like free clicks, you're paying for them. Instead of like long-term, it's short-term. Instead of like sort of broader metrics, it's exact metrics. And I was like, you know, pay-per-click is cool because you can get a spreadsheet. You can see exactly what worked and you know exactly why it worked. And there's no vagueness. Like I was always like, SEO's too vague, it's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
So I really started digging into PPC and started with AdWords because that's where most of the interest was. And honestly, too, when I thought about making this a focus of the business, because our business was growing just in kind of a general client base, one of the things I looked at was, you know, I really believed and still believe if you project 10 or 20 years out, you've got these huge platforms like Google, like Facebook, like Instagram, like Twitter, like whatever's going to be there 5 years from now, you know, like, you know, papagram.io or whatever the next big thing's going to be,
yeah.
Right? Their business model is and has always been get the biggest, most massive audience as possible and sell access to that audience to advertisers. Mm-hmm. And I think you see this if you look in Google and you look at the difficulty curve of SEO. And you say, like, in the beginning when Google's getting started, SEO was pretty easy. You know, if there are old school listeners on this podcast, right? People remember, like, you'd have like a white background and then on the bottom and all white, you'd be like, real estate, real estate, real estate, real estate. Like, that would be enough, right? And like, so it was pretty easy to do. And then as more competition comes in and Google gets tougher about the algorithm and more exacting about what spam is and all that stuff, it gets harder and harder and harder and harder. And you get people that are more and more sort of entrenched, right? Which is not to say that you can't do it, because obviously, you know, you guys are doing it and, you know, it still works. And SEO, in my opinion, still has the highest ROI of any marketing. Mm-hmm. But it's getting harder and harder. Meanwhile, the value of pay-per-click traffic is getting more and more intense and more important, because these businesses are continuously trying to drive more people into their paid traffic ecosystems. And the way they do that is by making organic traffic tougher to get. Mm-hmm. So the thing that sort of clicked this for me was, if you guys remember a couple of years ago, you know, you would set up a Facebook page, you'd get a bunch of likes, you would sort of post on your Facebook page and people would see it. And then Facebook was like, you know what? Now nobody sees it. Like, I think they dropped it from like 85% of your audience used to see your Facebook page post down to like 12%, right? But then they put that little button where it's like, but you could boost it. Give us some money and we'll boost it. You know what I mean? And I just realized, I was like, this is where this is going.
Yep.
And I don't ever think it's going to be all that, but it's where I wanted to be. So, mm-hmm. You know, I really started digging into it. And I was doing pay-per-click consulting and everything. And then the way I got into real estate investing was totally random. I had a client that I just got randomly, I think off Elance or something like that. So it was very early. And he was a real estate investor and I really liked him. And I was like, he's a cool dude. And I still remember the conversation we had where I sat down with him and I was like, okay, like explain to me your business model. I don't know. I had never heard of real estate investing before. So I was like, explain to me how this works. And he's giving me the rundown. He's like, okay, you know, I buy properties and I flip them or I can wholesale them, you know, to the other person. And I was like, in my head, I was like, okay, this sounds a little weird, but I get it. And I was like, well, what about, I was like, so you must have like a ton of cash to put down for all these houses. And he's like, oh, no, I don't have to put my own money down. I just put it under a contract. And literally in my head, I was like, alarm bells are going off. And I was like, yeah. This dude's a scammer. Like, I'm being scammed. Like, he's going to try to sell me a bridge and, you know, Brooklyn or something. So anyway, but he was a great dude and still a client to this day, actually. So several years in. And then that January, I ended up going down to – I went to Tony Robbins' conference. I went to Business Mastery. And first Tony Robbins thing ever, I was just like – I was excited to go because I was like, Tony Robbins is the world's tallest man. You know, it'll be cool and it'll be a real experience. But I was nervous because I was like, I know he makes everybody dance and stuff. And I'm like, I'm not dancing. I'm not jumping up and down. So I sat all the way in the back, like the farthest away that I could get from the stage. Because I was like, it's like back of the bus. Like, I don't want anyone to know I'm there.
Yeah.
And I ended up sitting next to three real estate investors. And sort of turned to them and they're like, what do you do? And I was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. We're talking. And I was like, you know, I do pay-per-click stuff. And they were like, you know who you should work with is real estate investors, because no one needs leads more than real estate investors. Mm-hmm. And I was like, done. And I just made the decision from that point that that's who we were going to work with. So it's kind of sort of random events almost. But it's been a really amazing ride. And it's been a fantastic group of people to work with, really. It's been a lot of fun.
Man, I want to throw something out there for those of you who are listening on the kind of going back to what we talked about before, the importance of specializing, right? So we have a lot of investor customers who specialize in inherited houses, as an example. They specialize in whatever. And I think it's really important on the specialization on the vendors you choose to work with too. You know, we get a lot of people coming our way who say, you know, we picked Carrot because you guys specialize in real estate investing, and you specialize in the performance side of it. And with you guys, it's the same thing. And I think especially on something like pay-per-click, where you could be amazingly great at AdWords for plumbers, and it doesn't mean that you're going to, if you get that investor client, that out of the gates you're going to be crushing it for investors. It's a different way of thinking. It's you have to really go out there and learn how, you know, you have to learn the market. You have to learn how those sellers or buyers are searching and talking. You have to learn the lingo. And the funny thing is, I'm sure you found it, and there was actually a lot of this in that report that I mentioned, where there's some things in there. I was going, well, shoot, I didn't know that sellers were searching that stuff. And you wouldn't know unless you really specialized in it and dove deep into it. Has there been anything that when you were first starting that, unless you would have really dove in deep on real estate and said, I'm just going to crush it at this, that surprised you as far as what people were searching or what was working or what you thought would work but didn't?
Yeah. It's funny because I was always saying, like, I actually came – when I started working with investors, I was doing work for a big plumbing franchise. So I was working with plumbers, literally. And I was like – killing it for literally the same exact sentence you said, which now makes me sound like an idiot. But I was killing it for plumbers. I'll be able to kill it for investors. But it isn't. It's. I would say this. Like, investing is like bizarro world. Mm-hmm. If you come from a traditional pay-per-click background, you're used to doing pay-per-click for e-commerce or like service providers, right? There's a certain kind of set of numbers you are looking for. There's a certain sort of behavior you're looking for. There's certain tactics you always use. It's things like call only ads and stuff that people use are very, very common. For investors, most of that stuff doesn't apply or doesn't work particularly well, right? Investing is very much unlike most services, where you are really dealing, and this is something actually, even over the last couple months, we've kept doing research on this stuff, even after we did that research project. We really look at that data all the time. We really try to find new insights and stuff. And I would say the primary sort of distinction of the motivated seller market and pay-per-click is that it is extremely high payoff but extremely low volume. Mm-hmm. And so if you compare the volume of on-point searches for a plumber, even a plumber in like a local, relatively small area, to an investor that's covering – you know, let's say a couple counties or something like that, right? The investor is going to have way less searches to play with. So there is a lot less room for testing. There's a lot less room for error, really. And so the strategy you need for a business like that is very different than the strategy you need for the plumber down the street who is just doing a specific kind of thing. The other thing, and I don't know, we can always come back to this. We'll dig into it later, but the investor market specifically, the stuff we see there is so long tail, by which I mean, let's put it this way. I would say over the course of a month, the searches you'll see in one of our average kind of clients, sort of average investor, maybe like 30 to 40% of the stuff that's triggering ads in that account has never showed up before. It's completely unique. There's no way you can know about it ahead of time. And that is such a different problem to solve than like the plumber who's got a set of keywords he knows everybody searches all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really, really interesting market. And it is, it's like most of our clients that we get almost all of them are going to say, you know, I chose to work with you guys because you only work with investors. You actually know this, right? Because it's there's a deep learning curve, and we were lucky enough to have the chance to go through that stuff early on.
And are there any things kind of putting you on the spot here? Are there any things, some of those keywords that pop up in your mind that you can think of that were that 40% that had never shown up before? Just kind of give some context for people who might be going, well, like, what kind of stuff would that be?
Yeah. So the real common thing is like someone will take a keyword that kind of exists. So like let's take like sell my house, right? So most investors they want to target someone typing in sell my house, but very few people actually ever type in sell my house, right? Because if you think about it, most people get how Google works. So instead what they do is they type in something like sell my house at 123 Pleasant Street, right? And so you end up like getting this weird search query that like which is the thing that they actually type in, right? You end up getting this weird sort of result that you didn't really know about. But you are also getting stuff like, what was one? We always have a thing where we'll post these are on a Slack channel and be like, just like, you know, like funny searches of the real estate investing world or whatever. But it's like one what we actually notice popping up a lot is like, how do I sell my house but still live in it? Or can I sell my house and still own it? Huh. Right? Stuff like that. So it's like, I don't know, but maybe we want to be in front of that person. Or you get like we got a couple ones that were about really divorces going really badly. So it was like, one was like, sell my house to spite my wife.
Really?
It's like, oof. But yeah, maybe show an ad to that guy. I don't know. He's probably super motivated.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like a lot of that stuff. Again, it's like you would never know to target that ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And so it can be a tricky market for sure. Yeah. But it's an interesting one, a fun one.
Dude, so I'm going to shift into a couple of quick tips here now. And
yeah.
Like I said, I kind of prepped you for a little bit of it up front, but one thing that just popped in my head that I would love to, I think a lot of people are wondering. So as an example, that divorce one you mentioned, right? So let's say you have these ones that are specific on divorce. Are you guys then creating your own? So this is quick tip number one. Are you guys creating your own sections of the AdWords campaign that is specific to divorce and driving them to a divorce landing page? Or are you just delivering them all to the homepage or to a landing page that's more generic?
Yeah. So this gets to that core issue of volume in investor AdWords accounts, mm-hmm. right? Because first of all, everybody should always split test, right? That's like a common thing. You should always split test. You always test your landing pages. You always want to know. But there's a catch to that, right? Which is that every test carries a risk. There's an opportunity cost to that. Like if your main page converts at, let's say, 10%, right? And you decide you want to do a test to see if a different page is going to do better. And so you got version A, which is the sort of core one, that converts at 10%. And version B converts at 3%. And you drive half your traffic there because you don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose out on leads there, right? And part of the problem is in investing, if you look at like sort of keyword by keyword split testing, right? So if you say like sell my house divorce is a keyword that you want to test, then you build a landing page for it, you put a landing page up for it, and you do a split test there. If that keyword's low volume, I would put that in, gets anywhere from 1 to 100 impressions during the course of a month. You might have to run that test for 2 or 3 months to get to statistical significance.
Yep.
If that test is incurring a risk, that's a deeper risk than if you're Amazon who can split test something in 5 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. And so the answer to your question is that it depends. So what we'll typically do is we will have our high volume keywords, the keywords that are getting high impressions, we always split test on. We're always at least running one split test, even if an account doesn't have much traffic. We'll do one big split test on the landing page. And typically that's not like what color is the button. It's one dramatically different design against a dramatically different design because that's going to get us the biggest possible change. But for high volume keywords, they can justify their own changes. But this has been an issue that we struggle with too, because that low volume stuff it sort of prevents you from doing that testing the way that we want to do it. So actually what we did was we actually built a custom backend for all of our landing pages. And we started doing meta testing, which is, I'm sure there's a word for it, but we call it meta testing. And basically it's, we run that split test. Let's say that split test on that 100 impression keyword over the course of a month. We'll run the same split test across 10 or 20 clients at a time. So rather than taking us 2 months, we might get it done in 2 weeks and have a statistical average that we know to kind of roll out to new clients. We'll also have like the individual results whenever they kind of get there. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, it gets a little complicated. But in general, I would say if you're in doubt, test, but be aware that testing has a cost, yeah. Right?
No, totally. And I'll kind of piggyback on some of that stuff too, because I think you guys and us, we've talked about this before, but I think you guys and us are the only ones doing testing to that scale in this whole industry that I know of anyway. Because we do it the same way. If we have a, you know, a hypothesis, we want to test something. First, we'll roll it out on a handful of websites to see if there's something there. And then we'll roll out on a 20 site test. And that's kind of our process. And we always pick different sites around the country because we'll find in one market, things convert way different than another market. And in that way too, we have this data set where we can tell, it's kind of funny, man, we can tell pretty much by motivated house seller conversion rates, we can pretty much tell how hot the market is as far as real estate prices go. And it's just really interesting how that data flows. That the lower the hotter the market, the more the seller's market, the lower your conversion rate is on the traditional we buy houses type message website. And one thing that we'll do too is anytime we start to see a lot of those searches come through, let's say on the divorce side of it, rather than rolling up a specific page, I was just curious what you guys are doing. So it seems like it's somewhat similar. Rather than roll up a specific page for divorce, we then go, okay, this is starting to show up more. Let's create some articles and some content on the website that are going after all these long tail divorce keyword phrases that we start to get some rankings for, since we know it's showing up there in pay-per-click. And then also let's make sure that on our page that we're driving people to in general, the ones that are getting the most traffic, that we are mentioning, you know, and getting them as high on the page as we can, those things that we are seeing, the situations that we are seeing the most come through. If divorce is like one of the top ones or inherited, we want to make sure that people see with very few, you know, very little scrolling as much as possible that they see their situation, their scenario in there. So yeah, man, that's great. That's a huge tip for people that if you guys are kind of more on the advanced side and you guys want to do testing and things like that, just know that testing on one site gets you some data. Testing on 5, 10, 20 sites, the exact same test at once gets you a lot more data, a lot more quickly, which Dan and I do. And we have that luxury to do so, which very few people in this industry do. But then just really dig in. If you guys are running your own pay-per-click campaigns, look at some of those situations that are popping up and take those keywords and spin them into articles. Write some blog posts that are optimized for those. And you can even, you know, if you were to Google like sell my inherited house in Birmingham as an example, or a lot of other cities, you'll see Carrot clients crushing it in the search results there because of that strategy right there. So yeah. Awesome stuff, man. I love it. The next quick tip, I want to base on the keyword stuff. And so we've been talking about this report. And once again, you guys can go to oncarrot.com/PPC-keywords. And you can grab that report. It's just a free guide. There's nothing for sale on the other side of it. Just give us your email address there so we can send you the full information on the report. And then and right there on the other side, you'll see the report. And I've got it open here in front of me. And dude, when we got the data from you, we're like, man, this is amazing. We've never seen this level of data for pay-per-click stuff for motivated sellers specifically. And it, of course, took you guys quite a while to gather this data and then interpret it and come out with something. And one thing that I thought was interesting, this can be really advanced for people, which we went through this report and we're going, you know what? This is an advanced report and I love it because it's advanced, because there's a lot of basic pay-per-click stuff out there. We have a ton of free basic pay-per-click stuff on our blog, but I've never seen anything that is really advanced that tackles the pay-per-click keyword for motivated seller situation on the profitability as much as this does. And Dan, why don't you kind of walk through, and like I said, guys and gals, if you're listening to this, just go to oncarrot.com/PPC-keywords And you'll be able to see this that while we're talking through it. Kind of what was your, why did you guys decide to do this exhaustive study? And what was kind of the biggest thing that you guys got out of it?
Yeah, so it originally came out of our own necessity, mm-hmm. right? Because I think what happened was, you know, originally when we started working with investors, it was mostly for our benefit. We knew we wanted to focus on someone we knew, you know, would make us kind of better. But as we continued to work with people, I realized that one of the biggest assets we had was that, oh, hey, like we actually have more sets of AdWords data for more different kinds of investors and more different markets than I think anyone outside of Google. And I could be wrong, right? But a very big data set. And so our kind of first thought was like, well, all right, so what can we get out of that data set that's going to make us better at what we do? And so keywords are always the place where you start. So, you know, we were like, well, okay, what keywords actually perform? Like, you know, there's a big and this is one of the things I always talk about with investor clients, right? There's a big survivorship bias in AdWords, meaning that if you're an investor and you start up with AdWords and you throw 50 million keywords at the wall and you crush it, it does not mean that those keywords will crush it for someone else in a different market. Yep. It means that, like, for your market, it just happened to work. And that's interesting, and it's a point of data. But if you back away from that point, you look at the big picture, you'll see something very different. And so what we wanted to know was, okay, not just what worked for this guy, what worked in this market, what works statistically as an average across everybody. And when we actually did that, we found that I think it's less than 5%, right? So it's like 4.6% of all the keywords that we ever looked at, that were ever targeted by any of the investors, ever scored a single conversion. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about 4.6% of these keywords ever generating a single lead. Most of those, the vast majority of those, only generating one lead apiece. Mm-hmm. And the whole rest of those keywords being primarily waste, right? And so we initially were, I mean, even I was very shocked by that, right? By the extent to which I was looking for the 80-20.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead we got like the 96.6 to the 4.4 or whatever. Yeah. So it really changed our whole approach. And so I think part of the thing that we really wanted to bring to the table was, you know, I don't want to rely on what people say works. I want to have the data to back it up. Because just because it works for you, and we have like amazing investors that we work with who crush, they don't need our help at all, right? But it doesn't mean that that approach applies to everybody else, right? So we wanted to know that for a fact. We wanted to put kind of hard numbers to that. But that was why we started doing that.
And one good example that pops up in my mind, and as we were going through and you know, editing this report up, and like I said, literally today we're going to launch that report. So if you guys are listening to this, it's already up live. Go to oncarrot.com/PPC-keywords. And you guys can get it as well. Is, you know, we'll find quite a bit where a customer will come to us, an investor will come to us, and they'll have this massive list that they got somewhere, right? They got this list of 5,000 keywords from someone. They got it in a course or whatever. And like you're saying, it's not that those keywords don't work. They might crush it for that person that put the course together or that sent them to you. And then you can upload them right into your account and you think, man, that's all I need to do. I'm just going to hit start on this thing, update my ads a little bit, you know, swap up my URL and I'm going to plunk my credit card in there. We're going to go to town. And if that's the approach, this report really proves that that's not the approach you need to take. Right. And because it's in a very individualized sense. Now, the way that this report's written, and I think what we did is we took the thousands of keywords that you had analyzed in there, and we're not going to really go into the crazy details on it, guys and gals. You guys can go onto that page and read through exactly how it was analyzed, exactly how Dan and his team went through and found these, and the formula that they created that really show, they call it the... Is the map number or was it the savvy number? The map number?
The map number, yeah.
Yeah, so if you guys are experienced in pay-per-click or you want to be, there's something called the map number, MAP. that they developed that really goes through and shows you how to determine which keywords are the ones that are actually profitable, not just the ones that are getting clicks and conversions, but the ones that are turning to deals and cash checks for you guys. And so basically we took their map number and we culled it down to, I think we're picking the top 550 or 800. I don't remember what it was, but it's on there where we said, okay, here's thousands of keywords. Let's pick like the top 500 according to the map number. So there's this digestible data set from people, but they can look at, you know, the whole data set if they want to. And then from there, at least those keywords are based off of an aggregate study instead of just taking it from Dan's one website that he's been running and Biloxi, you know, Mississippi or whatever, and saying that that's going to work in New York.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it, so because of that, right? And this is the other thing we really learned, right? Is that this is a starting point for you. This is where your account jumps off from. And it doesn't end there, right? So you talk a lot about this in the report, but this is not a upload this to your account and forget it exists, because I will just come out and say that doesn't exist for AdWords. That's going to be profitable long-term. It just doesn't work that way, right? And so this is the starting point. It gives you statistically the best possible chance that you're going to be profitable out of the gate. But then to grow it and scale it and keep it profitable, you got to keep working on it. And the thing that's interesting is that, you know, we start pretty much all our clients with some variation on this. Mm-hmm. But over time, they all start to drift apart from each other. And 6 months down the line, the Biloxi guy, his account looks very different than the New York guy, right? Yeah. So this is the starting point. The other thing I want to make sure that people know when they go to check out this report, which we definitely should, because I bashed my head against the Excel spreadsheet for a long time. Excel is not my natural skill set, you know what I mean? But so in any case, when they go and check this out, it's very tempting to skip to the end and just look to the list of keywords. Do that. Then go back to the beginning and read the thing, because it, more than anything, it is not just the keywords that matter. It is how you use them.
Yep.
And if you don't understand match types and you don't understand some basic facts about account structure, this is not going to work for you. If you dump all these keywords into a single ad group, you are going to bleed money out of your face and it's going to be ugly. You know what I mean? So we don't want that to happen. We want people to have the best possible experience with it.
Totally. And dude, that's a great point. So I'm in here looking at that spreadsheet. So yeah, we took, just to make it more digestible, it's about 808, I think, or 850. I'm looking at it right now. What was it? It's 804. So I don't know why we picked that random number, but we did. But it's 804 of those thousands of keywords that had the highest map score. And once again, the map score kind of, Dan explains it really well in that report, but the map score really shows you, according to their data and their research in this, which ones end up being the most profitable. Okay, so we're not saying that this is the ones that had the biggest, best conversion or best click-through rate or whatever, because you guys aren't looking for that. I mean, you guys could have the best click-through rate in the world because you put free pictures of boobs on your ads and people clicked it, but then they're looking to sell their house and whatever it is, you can have that but not profit from it. So
everybody is clicking on the ad with three different pictures of boobs on it.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't even think that was allowed. I'm clicking on this ad. I gotta know what they're selling.
Exactly. Like, so
yeah, exactly.
So that was just to prove a point that a lot of people look at the wrong data and the wrong numbers. Even looking at conversion rate, if your landing page is making it so they're converting really, really well, but you're not qualifying them out very well on it, and you're not converting them to a deal, it's like, who cares? You know, the conversion rate is important, but it's not the most important part. It's, are you profiting from those leads?
Right. It's like the metric that we care the most about is cost per deal acquisition. Mm-hmm. If that number is below your average profit on a deal, you are making money on AdWords. That's how it works, right? But it is so tempting to look at cost per conversion. And because, you know, you might only do a deal, let's say one out of every 20 leads or one out of every 30 leads, whatever it's going to be in your market, you got to look at cost per conversion. You got to look at cost per click. But you never lose sight of the fact that return on ad spend is the thing you really care about, mm-hmm. right? That's what's going to feed your family, right?
Dude, one thing from the report here, I'm looking at it right now. And like I said, guys and gals, just head over to oncarrot.com/PPC-keywords. And you guys can download. It's not a download. It's just this page that we put up that has the report. That way we can update it as things get updated, and you'll always have one spot to go to. But one thing that's really interesting, so for those of you who are doing your own pay-per-click or who have tried it, like Dan was mentioning, the importance is not the keywords. So we have the SEO Bible here at Carrot. We basically took, our data and our research and came up with, a list of a lot of the most popular keywords for buyers, sellers, rental, and tenants, whatever, for SEO. And SEO, like Dan mentions in this report, SEO keywords are far different than a pay-per-click keyword, where you might still have the sell my house fast or whatever, but you have all these variations to it because someone might be typing how to sell my house fast. So they might be typing sell my house fast Biloxi. They might be typing sell my house, fast without an agent or whatever it is. There's all these variations. So you have to use these match types, which he explains in there. And you also put in there a strategy, which is strategy number 3 on really the balanced approach. How do we best use those match types? Because some people, I've looked at some accounts where they're using broad terms way too much. They'll go in there and just straight up put we buy houses or sell my house fast, and they're getting anything that has anything related at all basically to it. The words don't even have to be in that order, and it's just like wacky. And then there's the people who are using a lot of the, I don't remember what it's called, I'm not the pay-per-click expert, the one with the quotes, is that
phrase match.
Phrase match, there you go. They're using a lot of phrase match. And really the big part of what makes your pay-per-click effective is your correct mix of how you're using exact match, phrase match, broad, and stuff like that. And this report will walk through a good hunk of it. We have other training on our blog and in our 3 Lead Per Day training that really dives into those in depth. But my advice for everyone is go check this report out if you are already doing pay-per-click or if you're interested in it, with the understanding of that if you are a beginner, this is going to be like jumping from first grade to the master's degree program the next day. Okay, so just know that the majority of this is going to completely fly over your head. Now, that's not a problem. You don't have to learn this stuff. You guys can go to people like Dan and have them do it for you. You just have to carve that out in your budget, right? If you are an advanced person and you're already doing your AdWords, you're already doing things like that, this is something that's going to help make it more effective, hopefully. This is something that's going to help make it more effective, a higher ROI. It's going to trim down your campaigns a bit. A good example of that is internally here at Carrot, I've got an amazing guy on our team who runs our paid traffic, and at any given time we're running pay-per-click for 4 or 5 clients at once, just so we can have our hands in AdWords accounts and Facebook accounts and just kind of getting data, the same thing. And one client, this guy's crushing it, one client, he's down in Tennessee, and he got the big old list from someone, I think it's 3,000 keywords or whatever, uploaded it, and getting leads, not getting leads, that's not the problem. We came in there in a more targeted approach, like this report really walks through. And I don't remember the exact number, but I'm just going to throw this out of there. It's, let's say 300 or 400 or 250. I don't remember what it is. It's around that realm of really targeted keywords. And Brendan keeps on kind of stacking on doing it and trimming it down. That more targeted approach, that more strategic approach using what this report goes through, basically yields the majority of their leads that turn into deals, but is about a quarter of the overall budget. So, And this client wanted that other big old list to he's like, I got it from my coach, which is great. I respect it. Keep that going, because even if it gets me one deal a year that nets me 50 grand, that's his thought. It's like, oh, we'll keep it rolling, which that's awesome. And if that's working, that's beautiful. But the majority of his leads and deals are coming from the section of his AdWords account that he's spending maybe $800 a month on. When his whole AdWords spend is more like $3,000 to $5,000 a month. So that's the importance of this. If you are on the advanced side, if you are already doing your pay-per-click, is increasing your ROI in a big way and not having this massive shotgun approach, uploading 3,000 keywords, and hoping that one of those is going to be, or 2 of them or 10 of them are going to be the ones that bring it to you.
Yeah. I always think about like cost per conversion or cost per lead, right? Mm-hmm. And number of leads. Those goals are kind of on a spectrum. You've got keeping your cost per lead as low as humanly possible on one end, and you've got the maximum number of leads that you can possibly get on the other. If you are willing to take a high cost per lead, You can get all the leads in the world as long as you're willing to pay $10,000 a lead. If you want to pay $10,000 a conversion, I will get you all the real estate leads you could possibly contact me today. We'll work something out. It'll be fun, right? And if you want to only pay 50 cents a lead, I can do that too. You're probably only going to get a lead a year, but it'll cost you 50 cents, right? And so for everybody, it's about finding the place. If you're doing a ton of deals already, you don't need the highest possible margin on your marketing, right? Because you're, look, you're rolling in it and that's great. And you're really killing it already. You can take a higher cost per lead to blow out the number of leads that you could possibly get, right? Same thing. If you were on a budget, like if I was going to start wholesaling tomorrow, right? I would set my budget to like 500 bucks a month. And I'd be like really, really careful about what I targeted. I'd keep my cost per lead super low. And I might only do a deal or two every 6 months, right? But if I was just getting started, that's exactly what I want to do because I don't know anything about real estate. So I'd probably end up buying like a haunted mansion or something. And the guy would be like, you have to stay there for a night to put it under contract. And then, you know, I'd get murdered, right? That's how it goes. So it's all about finding the mix that's right for you, right? And the set of milestones and data that's going to give you the best result for your business at that particular time. Right.
And what you mentioned there, so we're going to wrap this carrot cast up here in a second. But sure. What you mentioned there, I think, is really important because whether you're a newer investor like that, where, hey, let's carve out a newer investor with not a big budget that, hey, let's carve out whatever budget we can muster and let's make that work with the right expectations, or whether you're experienced and you're rolling in it and you have a higher budget to hit it harder. The one thing that I think the biggest mistake that I see that people go in is they have the wrong expectation. So like you mentioned there, if you're the newer investor and you're starting with 500 bucks a month and you're in a really competitive market, you shouldn't expect 40 leads that month to come through. You know, you shouldn't, depending on what market it is, you shouldn't expect to close a deal that month possibly. If you close one, amazing, but you shouldn't expect it. And what I usually do, and this helps people to figure out what budget they should expect to carve out so they don't quit before they should. And what I do is look in your market and figure out what your average profit per deal is for the type of deal you guys are doing. So if you guys are doing wholesale deals and you're in South Florida and a buddy of mine is doing a bunch of deals down there every month and he said on average they're netting about 16 grand a wholesale right now in his market. So if you look at that and go, okay, let's work backwards. So I'm shooting for an average of $16,000. What am I willing to exchange in order to get that? So is it realistic that you're only going to exchange 500 bucks to get 16,000? I think most of the people listening to this podcast would go, heck, I would exchange 5 grand for $16,000 all day long, right?
I would exchange 15 grand for 16,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this an auction? Are we bidding right now?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's exactly what happens in AdWords, uh-huh. Right? It's a bidding system. And if there's money in the market, people bid it up, right? It's just like you're bidding on the Mona Lisa or something.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And that's what people have to think about. They have to go, okay, what am I willing to spend up to? And then when you get a certain, you know, I probably wouldn't trade as far as in this. If you were to walk in my office and say, I've got 16 grand, will you trade 10,000 or 11,000 for it? I'm like, heck yeah, because it's, I just do this and it takes me 2 seconds. But yeah. if I'm going, okay, if we're going to do AdWords, it might take months. It's going to take my time. And also there's the opportunity cost. There's where else can I be put my money? I wouldn't trade 10 grand for 16. There's too much risk that I'm putting up to get that back. So for me, I would definitely trade 3 to 5 grand for 16,000. So that's where you start to look at it and go, okay, so how much time am I going to spend in it? Because if you're going to trade 8 grand and 40 hours of your time, then you start to look at it and go, okay, that return on investment is not so good.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to trade 5 grand in my costs, whether it's clicks and or management fees and none of my time because someone else is doing it for me, so I can go out there and do something else, I'm going, shoot, I'm going to run my pay-per-click all the way up until maybe I hit 5, 6, 7 grand before I even make a decision whether this isn't working for me.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are stopping at that $500 mark and they didn't get a deal done, or they're stopping at 1,000 or 2,000 or even 3,000. And in their market, they're doing $20,000 nets on wholesales. And I'm going, guy, the reason you guys are not winning is because your competition is willing to spend more money than you are to get that profit. And you're quitting. Yeah. You're spreading all of your marketing out between 4 or 5 different methods, making them all kind of a half-assed effort. And that's why you're losing. You get discouraged. And like, oh, none of this works. And this didn't work. And that didn't work. while your competition knows their numbers, they know the ROI is the most important, and mm-hmm. They're willing to outspend you for that profit. So that's the thing you guys have to do when you're going into your AdWords. Know your market, know your average profit per deal that you're going for, know how much time you're investing in that process. If you're outsourcing, you're not putting any time into it hardly. And then have a real budget based on actual numbers, not based on, you know, I just got my unemployment check and it's $342 and that's all that I'm going to get. That's all that I'm going to invest this month in real estate. And if I don't do a deal, then it's not going to work. It's like, if that's all you've got in your budget, you have to put in the time to learn this stuff. And you should be going out there hustling and washing cars or doing whatever the heck you're going to do to build up that marketing budget so you can be realistic in that market to have success.
It's one of the things I love most about AdWords is that although it is a money game, it is not only a money game, mm-hmm. right? So you can be, if you want to win in AdWords, you can be richer or you can be smarter. If you're both, that's the best, obviously, right? But I teach people how to run their AdWords account with $500,000 a month budgets all the time, mm-hmm. right? That's not who we manage, but it's definitely doable. But you're exactly right. The key to this, and I always tell everyone this, I stress this so much, right? If you don't have money, you gotta pay for it in time. And that time is spent in time spent testing and time spent learning it, right? So if you don't have a huge budget yet, that's cool. But budget out the next 6 months and say, I'm going to spend a couple hours a week on this, really learn it, give it time to grow. Because as you go, you're going to get more efficient, more effective, you're going to better what you're doing. And then you can be competing with guys and gals that are spending way more money than you. And you can still be getting those leads because you're just paying more attention. Like mm-hmm. a lot of times we say like big money is dumb money. If you have someone who comes into a market and they're like, I got $1 billion, just dump it all into AdWords. That person isn't paying attention to what's going on in that account. They're probably on their yacht, smoking cigars made of money or whatever they're doing. You know what I mean? So if you're like scrappy and you don't have a ton of money, yeah, you got to use your brain. And that's the part that it's the reason I still get excited about this. You might be able to hear it in my voice. This is such a dorky thing to say. I get so excited about this stuff because you can win by being smarter. It's like going to the casino and being able to legally count cards. It's like if you're that dude, right? If you are willing to learn that skill, you can do that and you can make it pay off for you. And that it still makes me happy to do this. If it was just a money game, I think it would be too much of a bum out. But, you know, yeah, I'm into it, man. It's fun. And I recommend everyone at least give it a shot, at least think about it, because I think it's a huge potential for people.
Totally. So to wrap that part of it up, oncarrot.com/PPC-keywords, you guys can get that report we've been talking about. So, Dan, I'm always curious, man. One of our core values here at Carrot is constant and never-ending improvement. I know for me, like if I'm not improving on something and continuing learning on something, I just get in the dumps, man. So, dude, what are you learning on right now? What is it that you're reading or you're diving into wanting to improve?
Well, I always try to be reading at least a couple different things simultaneously. Actually, the thing that I am super, super into right now is I started reading a bunch of Charlie Munger, who I wasn't familiar with before at all. But Charlie Munger is, if people aren't familiar, he's Warren Buffett's partner at Berkshire Hathaway. So he's one of the most successful value investors of all time. And his whole thing is he talks a lot about rational thinking and understanding psychological biases, right? So he has this like famous kind of list of mental models, maybe like 100 mental models long. And he's like, look, if you understand these like 100 main concepts from psychology and physics and engineering and whatever, he's like, you're going to pretty much understand most of what's happening in the world, right? But he's like, but if you don't, like if you, you know, like for example, if you jump into, if you jump into AdWords, right, but you don't necessarily get the psychology behind how people make decisions or how markets work, you have an imperfect picture of what's happening, and thus you make worse decisions. And so I've been like fascinated by that idea. So I copied the list of the 100 mental models into a notebook in Evernote, and I've been going through and doing one a week, just like reading about it, then describing it. And it's had a huge effect on how I view on my own business. Really, really fascinating stuff. So if people aren't familiar with him, most of his stuff you can get for free online. He really hasn't written – There's a book out that collects his stuff, but he's not like an author. He's an investor that every now and then gives like a graduation speech that people copy down because they want to know everything that he thinks. And it's, it's the first thing in a long time that really blew my mind, right? Like it really, I was like, oh yeah, oh, I'm an idiot. I'm a dumb idiot. You know what I mean? But I think it's very tempting when, you know, whether you're a real estate investor or like you're like you, you're working at Carrot, you're like us, like we're doing AdWords management, you need to specialize. And so it's so easy to get face down in your own little niche and think about only about the way that people do things in the industry that you're in. But I think the huge improvements, like if you want to get a 2x, 3x, 10x improvement on what your competitors are doing, that's got to come from you saying, you know, over in this different industry, this different part of the world, they do things a totally different way. What if I took that idea and applied it to what I'm doing, right? Like I always make this joke that someone's going to completely disrupt real estate investing by paying cost for all their deals. So if I come into a deal and it's like a $30,000 wholesale deal, I'll pay $30,000 over what everyone else is willing to pay. And they'll make all their money by renting air conditioners to the people that move into the house, right? I was like, somebody's going to do that. Yeah. And it'll ruin everything for everybody. But, you know, that's what it's going to. And I really believe that, man. It's like, it's thinking outside that box as much as possible. So, yeah, I highly recommend it if people haven't heard of that guy.
I love it. Well, guys and gals, thanks for joining us in this CarrotCast. And Dan, thanks for hopping on with me and sharing a lot of the AdWords stuff and your story and you know, kind of really diving into that report that you guys worked so darn hard on to put together that we've rolled out. So if you guys are curious about learning everything from that exhaustive report and over 3 million keywords, over 5,000 leads and through pay-per-click and what's working best for motivated house sellers, go to oncarrot.com/PPC-keywords. And where can people find out about you, Dan? If they want to connect with you, follow some stuff you've got online, where can people find out about you?
Yeah, for sure. So the best place to find us is just adwordsnerds.com, which is adwordsnerds.com. And you can find us on Facebook as well. Just search for AdWords Nerds. We'll show up. And you'll see my big, bald face there. So you'll know it's me.
Awesome. Well, Dan, thanks, man. Have an amazing rest of the day and week and get better with that cold. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you guys and gals for listening to this CarrotCast.
Yeah. Thank you guys.